I really looked forward to coming on to the prayer line tonight after the trip to Kenya, because I could feel the prayers of the intercessors. It was, I don't know how to describe it. I grew up in Hawaii, and I learned to surf and ride boogie boards and things like that there. You catch the wave, and it just kind of carries you into shore. And that's sort of the way I felt when we were in Kenya. And I could feel it really before we even got on the airplane. I could feel that deep anointing starting to set in, and just we were just carried along the way. At every turn, God was there, and God manifest himself. And I know that was happening because of your prayers. And so I want to give you a report. I want to give you a feel for what was happening there, because you share in the blessings. We do the going, and we do the teaching and such, but you are doing the labor behind, and you share all the blessings. And I just want to make sure you know what blessings you're sharing. I also want to tell everybody on the prayer line how much we appreciated Grace and her grace that God gave her to really manage this trip. She was our John the Baptist. She went along in front of us to prepare the way, and she arranged meetings and ministry events. I can't express enough how appreciative I am of the hard work that Grace did and how she was truly led by the Holy Spirit. It was just obvious at every turn that she was being led by the Holy Spirit as she was doing this. And so I was just kind of relaxed and put myself in her hands and, okay, Grace, where are we going now? And then Grace would tell us where to go, and we'd show up, and the Lord would show up, and all kinds of miracles would happen. So it was an exciting trip. It was a busy trip. Grace kept us busy, that's for sure. We were there for 8 days in country. I believe it was eight, maybe it was nine. But anyway, while we were there, we had an average of 3 ministry events a day. And so we were kept very busy. We got to minister in churches. We got to minister to individual families in their homes. We got to minister in home groups and small gatherings. And we got to do a crusade. I mean, there's all kinds of things. Let me see if I can tell you about some of the stuff that happened. One of the interesting things, I think, that kind of defined this trip was the way we saw God do miracles. You know, we're used to the idea of we go on these trips and we watch God deliver people and set people free and people get saved and there are dramatic healings of all kinds. We're used to seeing that, and we saw that on this trip, but the difference was, on most trips, those things happened at the hands of the ministry team that went. This trip, those kind of miracles happened at the hands of lay people and ordinary believers. And I'll tell you what happened. The Lord gave me a message for the very first Sunday service that we did there. That service, and I'm going to tell you about that service, and then I'm going to tell you how the Lord said, okay, I want you to do that again, and then again, and then again. So we start off in this first service, and I'm not going to tell you the name of the church, but it's a large Anglican church. It's a cathedral church, so it's an important church, and it's very stiff. And so the Lord gave me this message about 2 weeks before we went, and he wanted me to share out of Mark 16 and then Luke 9 and 10. And we're going to read those scriptures in a minute. The idea of those scriptures is that the Lord has called all believers to lay hands on the sick and see them recover and to cast out demons. And so the Lord said, I want you to do that in this very large, very stiff church. And I'm going, boy, God, I hope this is you, because if it's not you, this is going to be a mess. So let's start with those scriptures, and let me show you what I taught them and then later taught at other churches. Start in Mark 16, and we're going to look at verses 17 and 18, and I'm just going to read some pieces out of those. This is Jesus right before he leaves the earth physically, and he's talking to his disciples, and he says, and these signs will accompany those who have believed. Now, it's really important that you hear that it says that these signs are supposed to accompany those who have believed. He didn't say these signs are for the apostles. These signs are for ordained ministry. These signs are for the evangelist, the elders. That's not what he said. all believers, he expects these signs to follow anybody that has believed in the name of Jesus Christ. And what are those signs? He says, in my name, they will cast out demons. And then if you go down to the last part of verse 18, he says, they will lay hands on the sick and the sick will recover. Now, this was a command from Jesus for all believers. This is a calling that all believers have. That doesn't mean that all believers have been called to quit their jobs and start traveling all around the country and the world and be Reinhard Bonnke and pray for the sick. And that's not what that means. It means that God has anointed and called every believer that when they get a chance, when the Holy Spirit leads them, they are called to lay hands on the sick and see them recover and to cast out demons. Don't wait till you get a seminary degree. And so you turn to Luke 9, and if you look at Luke 9, verse 1 and 2, this is where Jesus calls together the apostles, the leaders, and he gave them power and authority over all demons and to heal diseases, and he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to proclaim healing. And then in verse 6, it says that departing, they began going about among the villages, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. So that's the leaders. But then in Luke chapter 10, he does the same thing, but this time he does it with 70 others. Now, I can't imagine there were much more than 70 disciples following him around all the time anyway. So this is probably all the rest of the believers that were with him. And in verse 1 of Luke 10, it says, and after this, the Lord appointed 70 others, and he sent them out two by two ahead of them wherever he was supposed to go. And in verse 9, it says, he told them to heal those who are sick and tell them the kingdom of God is here. Then we see in Luke 9, in verse 17, it says, they came back with great joy, and they said, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. So see, the disciples, the regular believers, in chapter 10, were doing exactly what the apostles were doing in chapter 9. That is, they were laying hands on the sick and seeing them recover, and they were casting out demons. They were doing all this in the name of Jesus. Jesus said, I have authority over all evil spirits, over all sickness. I have authority over everything. And boys, I am delegating this authority to you. And all you have to do is operate in the name of Jesus, and then my authority will operate through you to heal people and to cast out demons. And so this is the calling that we all have. This is for regular believers. And so I taught that for a few minutes in this church. They gave me, they said, okay, you got 30 minutes. I said, well, that's 30 minutes to teach, and then I can take some time to minister to people and pray for people and pray for the sick after that, right? No, you've got 30 minutes total. Whatever you're going to do, you do it in 30 minutes. And like I said, this is kind of a stiff environment. And the Lord told me, now after you teach him about all believers are called to heal the sick, I want you to ask those who have a certain condition to stand up so that the normal believers, the regular believers around them can pray for them. And it was like, okay, good, Lord, this will be a headache or a footache or, you know, something easy. No, no. He tells me, you tell people if they have depression, despair, anxiety, or racing thoughts. You know, there's been a trauma and they just can't get it out of their head, or a grief and they can't get it out of their head, racing thoughts. If they've got those conditions, stand up. I said, Lord, this is in Kenya. There, nobody's going to stand up and admit that they're having depression or anxiety. And he said, you just do what I tell you to do. And so there were about 500 people there Sunday morning, and 8 people stood up and admitted to everybody else there they were having trouble with depression, anxiety, despair, or racing thoughts. Now, it took about 5 minutes to get all those 8 people to stand up, all right? And then I told them, okay, now I want ordinary believers right around them to stand up and lay hands on them. And that took about 5 minutes. I said, no priests, no lay leaders, no elders, it was just ordinary believers. And so eventually, every person that stood up for prayer had 2 or 3 believers standing around them. And so I said, okay, let me give you an idea of how to pray for folks. I just prayed a very short prayer of commandment and commanded depression, despair, anxiety, you know, those things to leave. If there are any evil spirits attached to that, I bound up those evil spirits in the name of Jesus Christ and commanded them to let them go. If there are any chemical imbalances, I spoke to their bodies and said, in the name of Jesus, be healed in your mind and in your body. Then that was about it, the very short prayer. And then I said, okay, now of you eight people who are being prayed for, did any of you feel or sense anything as we prayed for you? Or can you tell the difference? And boy, one guy shot his hand up right away. I had a real bad headache before y'all prayed, and it's gone. Praise God. And then somebody else said, I feel much lighter. I was really down, and I feel much lighter. Okay, good. The other six, did you feel anything? No. Okay, let's pray again. See, I'm modeling for them how to be intentional about fulfilling this call that Jesus has called us to, this anointing to heal the sick and cast out demons. I explained to him, I said, look, you don't have to shout. You don't have to get loud. I mean, it's okay if you want to get loud and passionate, but that's not going to help, because it's not how loud you are. It's not how long you pray. It's the fact that you're exercising the authority of Jesus in the name of Jesus, and he's doing the work. And so I said, okay, let's pray again, only this time I'm not going to say anything. I just want you around them to pray for them. And so they prayed again, and about 30 seconds or so, a minute, and I said, okay, let's stop praying. Now, did anybody else feel or sense anything while we prayed for it? And it's okay to say no. But again, two more people raised their hands. I felt like I've been healed. I've been delivered. I feel lighter. So we prayed again. And of the last four, I think only one of them received a touch at that point. But you know what? In that big, stiff church, five out of eight people getting healed, I was ready to jump and shout at that point. It was like, wow, God demonstrated to these folks his promise that he's going to go with us believers, and he's going to heal the sick and cast out devils when we use his name. It was... I was elated. It was exciting to watch God actually move. Even though it was only eight people out of 500, the subject matter of depression, that was difficult. And so I thought this was a huge victory. See, the Lord gave me two messages before we left. One was that message, and the other was a message for the crusade we were going to do in Quibera toward the end of the time that we were there. And that's the only things I knew that God wanted me to cover. And so when we would go to other church services, when we would go to other meetings, sometimes I didn't know what the Lord wanted me to teach on or wanted me to do until the service actually started. It was, in a way, it was disconcerting because, you know, I'm used to being able to be really prepared and have everything all lined up. And in this case, the Lord was just saying, no, I'm just going to take care of you. You just relax. And we're going to take care of this. And I did. I just relaxed. And sure enough, the time would come, and he would tell me what he wanted me to teach on. We went from that service. We went to Quibera. There's a CEC church, St. Michael's, in Quibera. And as it turns out, the Lord said, I want you to do exactly the same thing here, only you're going to have a lot more freedom because these folks are really charismatic. You know, they're open to these things. And so I taught on these same scriptures and told some stories about what we'd seen God do. And then I think in that church, the Lord said, call out people that have chronic headache. They've had the pain for a long time, and they're in pain right now. That's the ones I want you to call out. And so, I mean, this wasn't a big church. There, I don't know, maybe 60 people. It's a small church. They were really crammed in, but there were probably 50 or 60 people there. And so we got about, I don't know, there were about six people, maybe eight people that came up with chronic headache. And then I said, okay, now I want you believers who have never, ever prayed for somebody that's sick and seen God heal them at your hands. Maybe you've prayed for people and you didn't see them healed, or you've never even prayed for somebody that's sick. That's the people that I want to come up here and pray for these folks that have headaches. And again, we're in Kenya, you know, so it took a while. I'd encourage folks, and it's hard for them to admit they never prayed for somebody, some of them. But eventually we had two or three believers, no priests, no elders, two or three believers around every person that wanted prayer. And what we did, our team did, was we would go to each one of those groups and we would help guide them. We would make sure they were praying a prayer of commandment in Jesus' name. we would make sure that they were not, praying for 30 minutes or something. They'd pray a short prayer and then ask the people how they were doing and whether or not God was doing anything, and then pray for them again. And so that's what our team was doing. In a way, I tell you, it's easier just to pray for the sick and see God heal them and pray for demon-possessed people or demonized people. It was actually harder to help them learn to do it. But I think, to me, it was much more rewarding, because there at Cabrera, this is what happened. Those six people come up with chronic headache. Two or three believers gather around each one of them. They pray a short prayer for about 30 seconds. And then I stop. Okay, now ask them how they're doing. And sure enough, already two or three of them had been completely healed. And then we prayed again. And by the time we finished praying the third time, every single one of those people were healed. Well, by this time, they're getting excited. You know, they're watching God do miracles at the hands of believers, and these believers are ready to pray for more folks. So we start calling up more folks. Anything you got that you need healing, and other believers that you want to pray to. And pretty soon, you know, we got everybody praying for everybody. And when the service is over with, I say, okay, now, how many of you here prayed for the first time? You prayed for somebody and watched God heal someone at your hands. And what was funny was, there were a couple of people, they didn't just raise their hands. They raised both hands, and they waved their hands, and they're jumping up and down, big smiles on their face. They're excited because they saw God fulfill these scriptures and move through their hands. And then, and, you know, others raised their hands. Okay, how many people were healed here today? Healed or touched in some way? Everybody. Well, I mean, there were a couple of them that didn't raise their hands, but almost everybody raised their hands. God had touched them and had done that. Not through the big Mzungu evangelist coming from the United States. And he did it at the hands of ordinary believers. Every church service that we went to, and I didn't see this pattern until the trip was almost up. Every church service that we went to, that's what the Lord had me preach on and minister. And every time I would just simply teach on, this is what the Word says. And then we would give the Lord a chance to demonstrate His Word, and He would do it. And people got healed, and people got excited. And I am really looking forward. There was one place we went up near Lake Naivasha. I'm looking forward to going back there. I hope the Lord will let us go back there and do kind of a school of the prophets, you know, teach them how to operate in the gifts of the Holy Spirit and how to hear the Lord and that sort of thing. But anyway, who knows? I hope the Lord will let us go back next year. I've got some things in mind I'd love to see Him do, but you know what? We're just His servants. We're just, you know, if I'm a knife in the drawer, well, then Debbie's a fork and Grace is a spoon, and we're just His utensils to use however He wants to. So we'll have to see what He wants to do. One of the things that was really great about this trip, and in a way it was a milestone for us and our family, because my 18-year-old granddaughter, Hannah, joined us on this trip. It looked like she wasn't going to be able to get her passport in time or her shots, but the Lord worked everything out, and she came with us. And it was just really exciting to have her along. It was exciting on several levels. One, to me, the most important thing was to watch her engage and minister. And I'll tell you a story or two about that. She was not shy. If the Lord gave her a prophetic word for a church, she would stand up in that church and she would give that prophetic word. You know, she prayed for people. She helped guide people in how to pray for folks. And so it was exciting to watch her really manifest Jesus in her and the fullness of Jesus living through her in ministry. But the other thing that was fun was just watching how much she enjoyed everything about Kenya. I mean, she enjoyed the weather. She enjoyed the food. She thought chapati was the most wonderful thing in the world, and mokimo and everything else. And she loved the African food. She got a chance to go to the market one day. She was haggling over price in the market. You know, no, that's too much. I'm not. And she loved doing that. And we even got to go out to the national park with all the wild animals, and we got to see 15 or 16 different species of animals, even lions. I bet you we were within 15 feet of a pride of lions. Fortunately, they were laying there resting as opposed to prowling around looking for something to eat. She enjoyed all of that. And we enjoyed having her, and I'm looking forward to hopefully next year bring her back with us, maybe even some of the other grandkids. So y'all be praying with us about that, see what the Lord has in that area. Let me see if I can tell you real quick just a couple of other aspects of the trip that, as I look back on the trip, I noticed it was just kind of an interesting thing, a new thing that God was doing. In almost every church we went to, we had somebody on the team had one or more prophetic words for that church. But what was interesting this time was that those words, in almost every case, were somehow confirmed by someone else. I'll give you an example. We went to the church in Quibera. Hannah gave them a prophetic word. She said that she saw the streets of Quibera being flooded by the Holy Spirit, and that the source of the flooding was this church, or it was something close to that. And what Hannah didn't know when she gave that word was that about a week before, Grace had gone to that church, and she was preaching in that church, and she gave that church a word, and guess what the word was? That the streets of Quibera were going to be flooded by the Holy Spirit, and the source of that flooding was this church. So not only was I excited about that, Grace was really excited about that too, that her word was being confirmed, and Hannah was excited because her word was confirmed. We went to a fairly large non-denominational church there in Kiambu. We held service there Sunday morning, the last Sunday we were there. In that church, as I walked in the door, let me see if I can find the scriptures, 1 Corinthians 2, 9 and 10. As I walked in the door of the church, starting to look for our place to sit down, the Lord reminded me about this scripture, 1 Corinthians 2, 9 through 10. And it says, "But just as it is written, things which eye has not seen, and ear has not heard, and which have not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who loved him." And the Lord quickened to me not just that verse, but the next verse. Because the first verse, see, is talking about, well, these are things that you could just, nobody can imagine. But the next verse says, "But to us, God has revealed them through the Spirit." And so the Lord told me, he said, "I want to do in this church, through these people, and I want to demonstrate in this whole area around here from these people, I want to demonstrate miracles and signs and wonders that they can't even imagine yet, and things that others will just be astonished by." And said, "Okay, good. I can hardly wait to give that word." Well, guess what? The senior pastor of that church is up before I get up to speak. He's up there ministering to some folks, and guess what he quotes? He quotes this verse right here, and he talks about how God wants to do miracles here in this church, things that we haven't even imagined yet. And so when I get up, I'm able to confirm his word. He was able to confirm my word. That happened several times while we were there. It was like a new level of power to really speak into these churches and to speak into their direction and where they were going. And it was a privilege to be able to be used that way. One of the other things that I noticed, and actually we've seen this on other trips too, but what I noticed particularly on this trip was the coincidences, or what people might call coincidences. For instance, we were invited to minister at a noon service. I think this was Monday, like the first Monday we were there. And Grace had invited a fellow to come to this service. She said, "We're going to be ministering there at noon. You come and we'll pray for you." I think he was on the prayer line, and maybe Grace had prayed for him. But anyway, told him, "You need to come here so we can pray for you in person." Well, this guy lives about an hour and a half away from where we were having this noontime service. And when I was going to that church, I'm asking the Lord, "Lord, what in the world am I supposed to teach on at this noontime service?" And I'm searching, and I'm still not sure. And just about the time the service starts, the Lord says, "I want you to teach on those scriptures that talk about how God does not condemn us. God does not judge us." These are things that we talked about on the prayer line a month or two ago. And so I shared not just the scriptures I shared with you, but several others along those lines, and how when God forgives us, he completely washes us of our sin and he makes us innocent. And so that was the teaching. And so then we're going to start praying for folks. Well, guess what we discover? The coincidence is that this particular guy that Grace had invited days before, when he got up that morning, he said, "Lord, I just feel so guilty and so full of shame all the time. I'm just under this cloud. I've asked you to forgive me, and I just don't feel forgiven. I'm under this cloud of guilt and shame, and, you know, I really need relief from this." And so that's exactly what the teaching was. And when it came prayer time, folks prayed for him, and he was completely set free from guilt and shame and condemnation. He was smiling from ear to ear afterwards. He said he really felt lifted up. It was those kinds of coincidences that just kept happening over and over again wherever we went. We had an open-air crusade in Kibeta, and there were some people that were healed and delivered. It was fun to watch Grace's unbeliever radar at work. As someone that would come up near us, if they weren't a believer, the Lord would point him out to her, and boy, she'd go get him and pray the sinner's prayer with him. It was great to watch her in operation. There was a lady, though, that was riding by on a Boda Boda. And for you folks that are not from East Africa, a Boda Boda is a motorcycle taxi. They're all over the place. And a lady was riding by on a Boda Boda. The Boda Boda was taking her somewhere. And she heard just a sentence of my message. And that sentence was, "In the kingdom of God, God loves to heal his subjects. And he wants to heal people here today." And she heard that, and she tapped the Boda Boda driver, told him to stop. She jumps off, comes over, listens some more, got some folks to pray for her. She had some kind of condition in her knees primarily, but it was in her legs as well. She had been in a lot of pain for years. She got to where she was almost debilitated. She couldn't work anymore. She had spent all of her money on doctors. And so she came, and folks started praying for her. And it didn't take long, and God completely healed her, set her completely free from the pain. And what was funny was the first thing she says, she shouts out, "Praise God, I'm healed." And she says, "For the first time in years, I don't have pain." And then she said, "Oh, all that money I wasted on doctors." But praise God, she got healed. Well, I don't know what else to tell you. It was just an exciting time, and you know, nobody got sick. Nobody got mad at anybody or angry or upset or had any, at least not that I know of, no cross feelings or anything like that. Fun to watch God do new things with us, with the team, and bring a new member of the team this time. And we are so looking forward to going back, see what new thing the Lord's going to do next time.